are willing and able to let the word minister to you today. And so we really want to get into that atmosphere, hallelujah, to be able to receive something. As I said, I'll be telling you a lot more of some of the things that were spoken of and things that inspired me. But I know that there is more that I can do. I took this time to be speaking to me and to be refreshed. And I would just want to pass on to you what God gave to me today. So let us really focus today on our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin, the Bible says, that doth so easily beset us. And let's run this race with patience. That's what it takes. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah, for filling this atmosphere with your presence. Lord, let the anointing flow today in this place. Let our hearts be ready to receive, to be uplifted, to be changed. Lord, bless our offering. Multiply it for your kingdom. Bless our Sunday school. Bless the teachers. Hallelujah. Bless every listener today. If there's any that's sick, Lord God, touch their bodies. We just give you all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and worship. Amen. You could march. And if you believe that, come on, let's give God a wave offering. Amen. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. God is a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's an awesome God. We've come to the end of this month. Amen. And so we're on our last Sunday of the month of September. The year has gone so fast. It seems as if it was just the other day, it was Christmas, and within a short time, they'll already have the Christmas decorations out and everything else, you know, that they'll be advertising. So, there we go. Okay. But today, we will be completing our study on the oneness of God. And I just believe that there are things in here today to encourage us, to teach us, to lift us up. Amen. To edify our souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, our main scripture was from the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Not two, not three, not four. You know, the Hindus believe in a multiplicity of gods. They believe in many different deities. But I am so glad that I don't have to remember a whole bunch of different names. There is only one God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful for all that he has done, his mercy and his love. Amen. And his understanding. So we're going to go into the lesson. And there's a tract called The Wheel of Prophecy. And I took a few scriptures from that to lay a foundation. And what this does is it looks at the Old Testament, and then it looks at the New Testament and compares what the scriptures say about God and then what the scriptures say about Jesus. And of course, we all know from Genesis 1:1 that God is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Psalms 104:30 tells us, "Thou sendest forth thy spirit, and they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth." Because there's so many scriptures in the Old Testament that tell about God's creative power. Isaiah 40, verse 28. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." I'm so glad he doesn't get tired. Amen. I'm so glad he doesn't get tired. Amen. As I grow older, I realize that I'm not Superman. I used to be able to do 24 hours and still feel good. I mean, I can remember at least four times in my life that I've worked close to 40 hours straight. I can remember at least four times when I've been on a job where I had to finish something and it just had to be finished and there was no one else and I had to do it and I just had to keep working. I remember people coming in the morning for their shift, going home, the next shift coming, and the shift from the day before coming in, and there I was still sitting there at the computer. But God somehow kept me through. I don't think I could do that today. That was 20 years ago. But the Bible says the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. When you're asleep, he's not asleep. When you're tired, he's not tired. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Isn't that awesome? Amen. So the Bible clearly tells us in the Old Testament that God, that is Yeshua, that is Jehovah, is the creator. But then when we look at the scriptures in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus is the creator. John 1:10, he was in the world was made by him, and yet the world knew him not. Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God." Last week I talked about how God is a God of light, and I explained how he created, amen, through subtraction, because I explained that light, white light, is the summation of all the colors, and to have a picture, you have to actually subtract some of the colors to have a picture. The Bible says about Jesus in Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. "For by him," that's Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." That means he created the angels. He created the archangels. What does this scripture leave out? It says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Who is that speaking of? Jesus. Jesus. The only conclusion is that Jesus must be God. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven." That's all the stars, the planets, the sun, the moon. All the visible things you can see. All the dominions and principalities. Really, that scripture should put an end to any discussion or argument about who Jesus is. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. Amen. Hallelujah. Then the scripture speaks in the Old Testament and it describes God as a shepherd. It tells us that he is the shepherd. Of course, very famous Psalms 23 verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can you say that?
Yes, Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd. Ooh, ooh. It's not my job that provides for me. It's not the government that provides for me. It's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. When you can declare that, when you can affirm that, when you can believe that, you have arrived somewhere. Amen. When you can, like David said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what that means? If the Lord is your shepherd, that means you're a sheep. That means you're a follower. That means you're going to follow. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. Hallelujah. Psalms 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep. Remember what I said? If he's the shepherd, we must be the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates. Here's the scripture I always quote a lot. With thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This week, you know, it's good that I, as pastor, get ministered to. I need to be preached at. I do. I need to be preached at. And all week I was very quiet. My wife probably didn't know why I was so quiet. I wasn't speaking much because what was being said was speaking to me and showing me things that I need to fix, things that I need to do. And it says here that one of the things that David is saying here, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful. And sometimes we forget to be thankful. We get so caught up in our needs and in the things that are going wrong, and we get so, I don't know what the right word is, with the cares of life, that we forget to be thankful. You know, one of the things Pastor Bernard said is that we're rich. He said, if you have a car, you're rich compared to most of the world. He said, you're rich. You know, because of course he's traveled to many, many different countries. I told you the story. I remember when I was working in Mexico and we had shipped a bunch of equipment down there. And as the truck was pulling in, I saw a big crowd gathered around the truck. Like, I was thinking to myself, what do they want? Of course, this was many years ago. This was 1996, and I know things have gotten a lot better. But I said, what do they want? What do they want with the truck? And to my surprise, what they wanted was not the things inside, but the crates, the wood that came in the crates. And it made me think, Lord, I'm not thankful enough. One of the most surprising things this week I saw, right opposite the convention center, there was a couple that slept on the ground right in front of the convention center. And we would pass them every day. The first day, you know, we saw them, they had a blanket, and they maybe they were homeless. And, you know, I thought, well, should I speak to them or not? And what came to my head is they can't have been here and nobody has spoken to them. All the thousands of people going into the convention center. Somebody has probably spoken to them before. But my wife was like my conscience. You know, she said, we should have said something to them. We should have stopped and prayed for them. So I said, well, okay, if they're there tomorrow, we'll see. They were there tomorrow, the next day, and I was thinking, how can they stay living right there, right in front of the convention center? This is not in Mexico now. This is not in Africa. This is right here in a major metropolitan city. This is Indianapolis, and here's this couple living on the street with a blanket and some cups, and they were in the same spot every day of the convention. So the second day, when we were leaving at midday, we stopped and my wife started to talk to her and said, would you like us to pray for you? And she started telling us that she had cancer and that she couldn't afford any medicine and that she was pregnant. Now, I don't know if any of that was true. Probably it was. And so we did what we could. We prayed for them. We prayed for them. But I say all of this to say that we should be more thankful. You know, we're not thankful enough. We're not thankful. If you came here today, you're not hungry right now, you should be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he's been so good to me. Many times I walk down the street and I see someone in that condition. You know what I do? I start thanking him. Lord, thank you. Thank you, because you have not forgotten me. You've always provided. You've always been my way maker. You've always been my provider. So God is my shepherd. David knew that the Lord is my shepherd. See, a lot of people don't know where their blessings really come from. I can tell you, in my life, I know how God works. He is not letting me get to the place where I can ever get comfortable. I've realized that. Now, I'm old enough to realize he's not going to do it. He is just not going to do it to let me get where I can look in the bank account and there's thousands in there. He's not going to do it. You know, he wants me dependent on him. He wants me to be able to call on him and say, Lord, I need your help. Amen. See, I need a shepherd. I need someone to take me into the green pastures, to lead me by the still waters, to restore my soul. If I had wealth, and in fact, that was the point Brother Bernard was making when the rich man came to Jesus and he couldn't, that was the stumbling block. His wealth stopped him coming to Jesus, and Jesus made the observation that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And then Brother Bernard turned it around and said, you know that's all you guys? Because you are rich, you just don't realize it. But the good thing, he didn't leave it there. He said, but nothing is impossible. With men, it is impossible. It's impossible that me, with all my warts and all my ugliness that you can't see, could be saved. But because of God's grace and mercy and love, salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. First of all, that the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, while we were still a mess and ugly and no good and not giving that God died for us, while we were yet sinners. I'm kind of off my topic, but I want us to remember that God is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You need to say that every day when you get up. The Lord, acknowledge the shepherd. Acknowledge your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We should tell him that every morning. Amen. Amen. See, the Bible then goes to the New Testament and shows us clearly, but that Jesus is also the shepherd. Jesus in John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I remember I was talking to someone this week and I said, you know, as pastor, sometimes be easy to give up on people. That's what my flesh wants to do. Man, I've talked to that person 20 times. They're not listening. But then I remember that God has not given up on me. Amen. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. Hebrews 13:20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. And it describes Jesus as that great shepherd of the sheep. So in the Old Testament, we see that God is the shepherd. In the New Testament, the Bible plainly tells us Jesus is the shepherd. Again, showing us there's only one shepherd. Hallelujah. And that is Jesus, who is also God. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, I want my crown of glory. See, it goes on to say, this is Peter saying that when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It's not worth it to give it up for what God has in store. That's the whole story about the treasure that was in the field. It was so valuable that he sold everything else to get the treasure that was in the field. And you can't buy the treasure, you have to buy the field. No, that means there is a process to getting God's treasure. The field represents work. Not that we have to work for God's love, but in order to obtain, there's going to be a race. Paul says, you have to run this race. Amen. Run this race with patience. So when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So now it says God is the shepherd in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it tells us Jesus is the shepherd. I'm just going to do one more because we could do so many. In the Old Testament, God says, I am the first and the last. Isaiah 41 verse 4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Isaiah 43 verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that he may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. Is not Jesus our Savior? So therefore, Jesus must be God. Because it says, I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. So if Jesus is our Savior, Jesus is God. He is the Lord. Amen. So in the Old Testament, it says that God is the first and the last. In the New Testament, Jesus says that he is the first and the last. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, this is John, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Wait a minute, didn't God say he's the first and the last? And here's Jesus saying he's the first and the last. You can't have two first and the last. There can only be one first and the last. And his name is Jesus. Saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Do you understand that because of that, we don't go to that place of torment? If you're a child of the King, when this body starts to go, you know where you go? You go to the throne room of God. Amen. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Hallelujah. Be absent from this body. The only thing would be leaving my friends. Otherwise, my goodness. My mortgage isn't due till I'm 90. I'm not going to pay that. Amen. They gave me it, but it says, I think the date is 2046. Amen. I'd be 90 years old. Even so, amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. I would swap that house in a heartbeat for heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look. We're going to go a little bit deeper now. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. And I'm going to expand on that because we see in the Old Testament, God said he's the first and the last. And I know I've taught some of this before, but I want to go over some of this because we learn by repetition. Amen. Amen. Let's look at this. Last week I talked about the nature of God in terms of light and how he had to subtract certain things in order to create. So we're going to look this week at how God has portrayed himself in the Bible in a mysterious way, actually. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Well, there you go. That's proof. It says there are three in heaven. But you got to read the whole sentence. And these three are one. I am a father, and I'm a son. I'm a pastor. I'm a lot of things, but there's still only one of me up here. Amen. Amen. I wear many titles. You wear many titles. In your job, you probably have there's a name. Maybe, like Brother Tim, I think, what are you, a scheduler or what's your title? All right. Amen. Check-in person. Amen. But you're also a husband now. You gained a new title. Amen. You gained a new title, some new titles this year. Not only did you become a husband, but you became a saint of the living God. Amen. But Tim, you're still only one person. Amen. John 14:7, if he had known me, this is Jesus speaking, he should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. In John, he's speaking to his disciples not too long before he's about to be crucified. And he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Who were they looking at? They were looking at Jesus. Jesus was therefore saying, I am the Father. You know, God is so smart. He is so clever. Jesus shut the Pharisees up. They kept on trying to trap him. So he decided, you know, let me ask you a question. If the Messiah is David's son, how can he be his father? Because he said, my Lord said to my Lord, sit. How can his son say to the Father? Only if he's God. Even today, the Jews don't understand that. Philip saith unto him, show us the Father. Philip still didn't get it. Jesus just said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He had to repeat it. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? You've been walking around with me 3.5 years, is it now, Philip? And you hath not known me? He that hath seen me, this is what Jesus said. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen all that there is of God. Because the Bible says he is the image, the express image of the invisible God. In fact, that's the only God you can see is Jesus. And Jesus said, how sayest then, show us the Father? How are you asking to show us the Father? I keep telling you, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. See, the Word became flesh. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember what I've said before, that the Spirit, when it becomes manifest in the physical, it manifests as, what did I say? Word. When God wants to manifest in our dimension, it comes as a Word. And so the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. When did they behold his glory? When John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw Jesus unveiled the flesh, and it was so bright. His glory, they had to do like this. They could not look at him. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I'm going to go a little bit technical now, so hold on to your seats. You know I'm always going to come with something to make you think. Now, I've taught some of this before. So let's look at this. The Word equals Jesus. The Word was made flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Contrary to what the Jehovah's Witnesses have in their Bible, it's not the Word was a God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And there was nothing made that was made, it goes on to say. John 1:14 tells us the Word then was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word is Jesus. So, who is the Son of Man? Let's look at that, because that's one of the titles. Jesus called himself what? The Son of Man. Amen? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, Matthew 18:11 tells us something about that title. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. What this was showing, that he was both God and man. Amen. He had to come as a man because God had given dominion to man. And only as a man could he take back what Satan had stolen. Mark 2:10, but that he may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know why he did that? To show us that once we also have that dual nature, we too should have the same power. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. That's why the scripture says, if he had sinned, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint his head with oil. Let them pray over him. And if he hath committed any sin, what does it say? You know why? Because repentance and obedience to the word always brings God's mercy. But that he may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And let's put that together. Remember now, I said Jesus is the, what does that say? The Word. But it also has another title for him, Son of Man. And Son of Man is Jesus. So the Son of Man is Jesus, who is also the Word. I'm going somewhere with this, so hold on. Now, so the Son of Man is Jesus, who is the Word. But Jesus also says something else. We read it before, but in the book of Revelation, when he appears glorified to John, let me read it. Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Those are the two letters from the Greek alphabet, the first letter and the last letter. So he was saying, I'm everything. Now remember, he's the Word. He is the Word. What do you need to form words? What are words made up of? Letters. So Jesus is saying, I am the beginning of the alphabet. I am the end of the alphabet. I am the Word. Whatever you can say, because it's all by saying, I've told you that before. Anything that you're going to get done, you have to speak it. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Then he starts to tell him, what thou seest, write. What is he going to write? What do you write? You write words. Write words. Write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Of course, we know that that is Jesus. So Son of Man is Jesus, which is the Word. He is also the Alpha and Omega. He's everything that can be said. Amen? Because he completes the alphabet. He is the first and the last. I'm just going to jump down to verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now that Alpha and Omega in the Hebrew is the same as, and I've taught you this before, is the Aleph and the Tav. Now because Hebrew is read from right to left, the Aleph is on the right side. And it reads this way, the Aleph and the Tav. And the Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It looks like a door. And it really originally looked like a cross. It looked like a cross. But the way it's written now, it looks like a little door with a little tag on the end of it. So Jesus was saying, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. So now let's summarize this. So Jesus, who is the Word, is also the Alpha and Omega. He's also in the Hebrew equivalent, the Aleph and the Tav. And I showed you last time some things from the Hebrew alphabet here. And I've picked the first four letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph. And what it's showing there is how it used to be written. And originally, the letters were written to represent pictures. So the Aleph, as you can see in its original form, looks like the head of a bull with some horns. And as time went by, it became more stylized till it just looks like what you see, like a man walking there. And then the next letter is called the bet or the bay. It started off, as you see, like that, like a curled up, if you want to call it a G on its side. And now this is what it looks like in modern Hebrew. And because they never had numbers, the letters also represented the number. So Aleph, when you wanted to write a number, you would write, if you wanted to write the number one, you would write the Aleph because it represented one. Then the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet is called Gimel. And as it's shown there, it started off like a check mark, and over time it grew into looking like it does now. And the fourth letter is a Dalet. So Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, those are the first four. And then the last one I'm going to show you today is the fifth letter. Anyone remember what that is? Because it represents, what does the number five represent? Grace. And it's called hey, or the H. H. When God gives grace, he seems to add that letter. Because he changed Abram to Abraham. He put the H in there. He turned Sarai into Sarah. He put the H in there, the hey in there. So the whole Hebrew alphabet originally was like a picture. Pictures. Each character represented a picture. So, of course, the Aleph, I told you, it looks like a bull's head, and it represents the meaning of it by itself was ox, or strength, or leader. And Bet originally represented a house, because that's where we get the word Bethlehem, the house of bread, the house of God, Beth-El. And so Bet, the second letter, represented a house. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but you can download the notes later. This is what the original meanings of the letter. Now, there's a little Hebrew letter called a yod. It's the second one from the bottom. And it looks like a hand in the original, like a hand with some fingers, an arm. And it actually means that, arm and hand, or work or deed. It represents a deed or doing something, because to do something, you use your hands. Okay, so the yod represents the arm and work or deed. So I'm not going to go through all of them, but you can study them at your leisure. So now I want to take some of these, and I know I've taught this before, and we're going to look at the Hebrew. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And let's look at that in the original Greek. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So when we look at that in the Genesis, which is in Hebrew, which is the parallel of John 1:1, and of course it reads from right to left, it says, in the beginning created God. And then you see those two letters in the Hebrew, and there's no translation for them. They're not translated because they don't know what they mean. And it skips it. But we know what they mean. What do they mean? What are those two letters? They are the Aleph and the Tav. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. Do you notice where it comes? Right after the Hebrew word God. In the beginning created God. And then it's got like a brackets, Aleph and the Tav, the heavens and the earth. You see, he is the first and the last. The same thing that is in the New Testament when it says in the beginning was the Word, but it's in the Greek. In the Old Testament, it's not translated, but it's right there. When you say the Aleph and the Tav, you're still speaking about God. In the beginning created God. So in the King James Version, in English transversion, because it's not a word, they don't translate it. So they put a little space. But in the Hebrew, it's right there next to the word God. In the beginning created God, the heavens and the earth. But in the Hebrew, there we see the Aleph and the Tav. I'm going to highlight it right there. You see, representing who he truly is. Amen. Right from the beginning. So Jesus is the Aleph and the Tav. We just showed that. So right there in Genesis, you find Jesus right next to the word God, the Aleph and the Tav. Because the Son of Man is Jesus, who is the Word. And in Revelation, he said he was the Alpha and Omega, which is the Greek way of saying the Aleph and the Tav. So right there in the Old Testament, we have a translation in the Hebrew that shows he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, before me was there nothing made that was made. Hallelujah. All things were made by him. That is the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. And you could say the word that they can't translate because it doesn't make sense to them is that he is the Aleph and the Tav. Amen. Now, the Strong's Concordance will tell you that it's untranslatable. This is a copy from the Strong's Concordance, and they say, untranslatable mark. But we know what it is. They don't know what to translate it because it just says A and Z. But we know what it is. But here's the amazing thing about this. It's in the Bible thousands and thousands of times. There's this Aleph-Tav more than 11,000 times in the Old Testament that they haven't translated. Jesus said to the Pharisees, if you search the scriptures, they speak of me. They didn't understand he was speaking. My name is in there. You don't even realize it. Strong's Concordance says we can't translate this because it's only two letters. It's only an accusative, an untranslatable mark of the accusative case. Part of speech. Don't know what it is. Untranslatable. But Jesus revealed what it is. He said, "It's the I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." John 5:37, and the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. He have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And he have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, he believe not. So here's the word. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. They can't translate it, just as how they can't translate the Holy Spirit when we're speaking in tongues. They don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. It sounds like gibberish. Well, it should to you. It's encrypted. Even the devil can't understand it. Angels can't understand it. But the Spirit speaketh mysteries. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Amen. So see how God has encoded his Bible? They are they which testify of me. Hallelujah. Amen. Here it is. Strong's Concordance says it appears in the Old Testament 11,050 times. 11,050 times in the Hebrew text that you don't see in the King James Version is that Aleph and Tav. And I don't know what it is, but it's in there. It's in there. More than 11,000. That's what Jesus meant. Search the scriptures. They speak of me. When he in Revelation revealed that he is the Alpha and Omega, he was saying, I am the Almighty God. There is no other Savior besides me. Amen. You know, Peter says, we have not believed cunningly devised fables. We're not following myths. We're not, this is not something made up. This is not like a fairy tale. But this is the word of God, that we can stand upon it. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. He went on to say, if you don't want to believe eyewitnesses that said we saw Jesus after the resurrection, then look at the sure word of prophecy that could only have been done by an almighty God, a supernatural work of God. Amen. So Jesus, the word, the Aleph Tav, is in the Old Testament more than 11,000 times that you can't see in the King in English because they don't know what it is. Just as how when you speak in tongues, they don't know what it is. The Bible says that Paul says, I would that everyone speak. You know, there's tongues of men and tongues of angels, so to speak. He says, but when you speak, you say your mind is not edified, but your spirit is. Amen. Hallelujah, because the Bible says you speak mysteries. Mysteries. You're speaking mysteries when you start to speak in tongues. The devil wonders what's going on. He doesn't understand it. Just as how he couldn't understand why this Aleph Tav was in there 11,000 times, that they would copy that out, and yet to them it made no sense. It was not a word that made sense until it was revealed that he was saying, listen, I am the Alpha and Omega. It's in the very first sentence of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Then comes those two letters. I better hurry. Look at this. When he comes back, when Jesus comes back, look at this. I'm reading from right to left. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There's coming a day when blindness shall depart from the Jews and they'll realize who is the Aleph Tav. I will pour upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of favor and of supplications. and they shall look. On me. And there's that two letters. They shall look on me. And there you have, right there, not translated, the Aleph Tav. Whom they have pierced. Who did they pierce? Jesus. Isn't the Bible amazing? They shall look on me, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. The Aleph and the Tav, they didn't know what to translate, so they left it out 11,000 times. But look where it is. It's right after the on me. If that was supposed to be a chance, you wouldn't see it there. But it says, on me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son. Isn't that amazing? They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Amen. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Right there, right after the on me is the mystery revealed, the Aleph Tav. So Jesus, the Aleph Tav, is who they have pierced. Amen. Now God is so smart. Hebrew is based upon root words, and they build all their words after that. So if you take the middle letter out of the Jewish alphabet, and you put it in between the Aleph Tav, it forms the Jewish word truth. Truth. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember, he's all the words in between. But if you just take the middle letter, the M, out of the Jewish alphabet, and you put it in between the Aleph and the Tav, it forms the Hebrew word, the truth. He says, I am the truth. So when you see the word truth in Hebrew, it's the Aleph with the M with the Tav. The Aleph and the Tav with the M in between forms the word, the truth. Isn't that amazing? I'm not going to go into all the Hebrew for you. You can look up the notes later. I'm telling you, we have not followed, Peter says, cunningly devised fables. But the Bible says his word will last forever. It says heaven and earth will pass away before my words pass away. We have a more sure foundation. Amen. I'm going to give you just a couple more. So we see now, as I told you, that originally the Hebrew letters were based upon pictures, pictographs. So the Aleph, of course, represents leadership or the ox, because in those days, that's what they would use to lead the cart, would be two oxen. And of course, Bet represents a house. And I'm not going to go into all of these, but you can look it up. But let's look at what God told them was his name. What did he tell Moses was his name? What name shall I tell them when they ask, what is your name? I am that I am. Or the I am. And in Hebrew, that is four letters. The Yod, the He, the Vav, and the He. Remember now, what does it mean when you take the letters as pictograms? And let me tell you what it means. It means, lo, behold, the nail. Lo, behold. It's a prophecy of his crucifixion. Even in the name. That's why the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. If you could stand with me. Every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that he is Lord. Right in the I am in Hebrew, if you go to the pictogram, it really is a revelation of what was going to happen. It says, behold, the nail, behold the arm. It's prophesying the fact, even in the name of his crucifixion. The Yod, the He, the Vav, and the He, which is the four letters that they form, the tetragrammaton. Now, I'm going to give you one more just to let you understand that this Bible is a supernatural book. When Jesus was being crucified, the Bible says that Pilate, and I believe through the Holy Spirit, wrote this title and put it on the cross. And the writing, he wrote it in three languages. He wrote it in Hebrew, he wrote it in Greek, and he wrote it in Latin. In Hebrew, this is what it says: Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So it is four Hebrew words: Yeshua HaNazarai Imalik Yehudim. But if you were to be really smart and look carefully at those four words that he wrote, each letter, the first letter of each word, is the I am. Each letter of those words that he wrote was really saying, this is God who became man, the King of the Jews. He didn't know what he was writing. They tried to make him take it down. The devil knew what he was writing. They said, hey, you can't write that. You need to change that. You need to change it and say, he said he was the King of the Jews. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. So in writing in the Hebrew, Yeshua HaNazarai Imelech HaYehudim, he was actually saying, the I am. I'm going to stop there. There's more to this. But I want you to know that we serve the only true and living God, who has been from eternity past and will be to eternity future. What you do with that, what I do with that, is going to determine where we end up, our destiny. I'll say it again, I said it three times. Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. If you don't want to believe the eyewitnesses, how do you explain the prophecies? Amen. Thomas only believed when he could see. I'm not going to believe that he's alive unless I can see him. So Jesus showed up. Okay, Thomas, I'm here. Behold my hands. You know what he was doing? He was actually saying that I am, because remember, it says, look, behold my hands. Thomas recognized it. What did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Do you understand? When Jesus said, lo, behold my hands, he was invoking in the Hebrew the I am, because that's what that I am means. Thomas understood. He fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. Do you understand? Today we need to get to that place where we will say, my Lord and my God. We need to get to that place where nothing is more important than my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. When we have gotten to that place where that's the most important thing in our lives, then we will start to have some victories. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and your heads with me this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for your gracious grace, for your love, O God, and for your word, O God, which you have exalted even above your name. Lord, help us, O God, to let this word plant a seed in our souls, to bring forth a harvest, hallelujah, of blessing, of edification, more of all, of faith, to trust you, to believe your word, to stand upon your promises. O God, we thank you this morning for your love and for your grace. Lord, bless us. Hallelujah. Inspire us. Let the joy of your Lord be a covering in our lives right now. We give you all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. If you could give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He is our Lord and our God. God bless you.